going to ask you all rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Callahan?
Oh, no.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Present.
Ms. Quintec?
Present.
Ms. Leer?
Present.
Ms. Leon?
Presente.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Present.
And Mr. Blount?
Present. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Just a couple of points to make before we get started. Councilman Callahan advised me he's running a little bit late, so he should be joining us into the evening. And then Mayor Reynolds also may be joining us late, as he is welcoming the delegation from our new sister city from Puerto Rico, Patillas, that's here for the sister city celebration later this week. So they both may be joining into the agenda tonight. The approval of the minutes for the September 3rd, 2024 meeting. Any comments on the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes stand approved. Public comment, we will start as is typical with our first public comment period, which is for anything that we are not voting on this evening. So I'll start with everyone who signed up in advance, and then I'll open it up to the room. I do ask everyone to do your best to respect our 5-minute time limit out of respect for everybody here. And I'll start with Ms. Mary Jo McCool. And if everyone doesn't mind stating your name for the record, please.
Mary Jo McCool, 449 Grandview Boulevard. At the last meeting, I asked if the council could enact an ordinance requiring utilities to complete work in a timely fashion. Well, this is week number 12 of UGI working on gas mains, laterals, and meter replacements on Grandview and Glendale Avenue. Hopefully, at the end of this week, they should be completed. But some workers, I noticed the one was with the traffic and one was with the main company doing the digging and everything else. They have no regard for what I view as a possible public safety concern. The replacement of the gas mains along Grandview and Glendale have been completed. Work on the laterals and meters continues. There's gas in both the old and the new main until the work is complete and the old main is closed. I have witnessed several workers, one in the traffic, another with the Henkel and McCoy, both with lighted cigarettes. The Henkel and McCoy employee was working in the excavation site. I mentioned this to both workers that I did not think it was wise to be doing so. Both acknowledged my concern, but flagrantly ignored me. I contacted Bedlam Police, only to be told to contact UGI. I did contact UGI and was told that the matter was up to the UGI supervisor on site. We as consumers are told to give 3 days advance notice if we wish to dig where utilities are located to avoid potential problems. I also remember when the safety valve blew on the propane tank along Bascom Street on the car dealership lot. Bedlam Fire Department was extremely vigilant regarding any possibility of an explosion. Am I overreacting? I would rather err on the side of caution than not. My neighborhood is zoned RT, as you are aware, and as such, there is a lot at stake. I would like some input from the proper city department. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. And our next speaker this evening is Jordan Bold. And while Jordan's coming to the lectern, I just wonder if I may defer you or refer you to different department heads that are here that manage the day-to-day business of city council, whether it be council bringing it up during new business on the floor of council or after the meeting. The department heads are always here to speak with anybody who has follow-up questions or wants that one-on-one engagement after the meeting. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jordan Bold. In response to last meeting, I would like to applaud every single member of the community for coming out and using your voice to try and make a difference for the betterment of everyone. I think we need to lean into this force that you're building up and actually do something about it, though. We need somebody to lead the charge. I'll assist in any way I can, but please, for the love of our citizens, let us come together to take care of our neighbors as God intended. The government was never created to help the people with anything more than freedom, liberty, and justice. We, the people, need to stand together to help solve the problem, not just put a Band-Aid on it and call it a day until next time. We need the real, creative thinkers of the community, all of them, regardless of class or any other material thing that humans tend to covet. Time is something you willingly give to anything these days. Why not choose to use your time like money and invest in yourself first so you can then help those who want to help themselves? Faith in us has to come before faith in anything else. To those who can help, please do. To those who cannot, we cannot expect you to do anything other than than send good vibes, if you will. To those who are homeless now, it may not be your fault how you ended up here, but it is your fault if you stay where you're at. You need to want it so bad that you bypass complaining and get straight to doing. Can't is just a state of mind. And I know you said I sound harsh without a heart, but on the contrary, I've been in this situation and I know what it takes to make it out of the pit. The darkness can't hide from the light forever, and I will do my best to put this together. I hope I have some support from the community. You don't have to like me, just my idea. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker this evening, Christina Restitar.
Hi, Christina Restitar. I'm right up on Broad Street. I was here on the 20th of August and wasn't completely prepared when I had left. I had gone home to jot some things down, per se. I do get a little shaky up here, but it's not because of necessarily the atmosphere, but because this is a worldwide issue, and it is out of the citizens' hands anymore in any way and everywhere. Employment itself has been such a drastic culture shock for society. Then you have your historic hometown that was become overbearingly welcoming, metropolitan even, impersonal, explosive, distrusting. As far as the housing and my situation that I'm here to speak of, I have no personal motivation in so many words to leave my home and go to work. I dread it sounds contradictive, but when I leave the house, I feel well or well enough. When I come home, the mold in my place just smacks me in the face. I then have a crazy amount of sinus pressure. I have to figure out how to sleep with an ice pack. Now it is a must for me to afford allergy medicine regularly. I tried supplements to find a remedy of assisting my well-being. This has only caused me a different medical condition to flare up. And also I have homeless people that sleep in the hall that I would not have known of if it wasn't for my previous neighbor. I've recently myself, because of living conditions, I've had random itches on my shins, my calves, the top of my foot, my ankle, my forearm. They're there for a few hours or days and then they're just gone. My living situation in the home, I have to choose on leaving work to put pots out for my ceilings that drip, or I have to leave work to tend to my son, or the many times that my son had to miss school to watch the ceiling because I had to go to work, or how he struggled through his senior year with numerous types of illnesses. This all caused too many points at my job. I came to having to decide, my son, the raining inside, or my job, which one of these triage that day of rain. Also, would it really rain, or would they would be wrong? Do I request off or do I save that time for a future incident? I can only do so much with the place that I live in the environment. It makes me feel groggy. The mold and the heavy, heavy air from the old carpets. The crookedness of the foundation is horrible. I have to figure out how to level my stove, to keep my pots from sliding off, the water that runs off my tub, the silverware that slides out of my dish drain. My bed needs to be leveled so I don't sleep on a slant. I continuously walk crooked and lose my balance. If I am able to hear that it's raining, I must get up and check what needs to be moved, covered, put away, cleaned up, then toss and turn in prayer that it will not fall in besides the pieces that flake off. The business below me has a water bucket because when we shower, the water drips down onto their t-shirt presses. When and where for this classified level of, well, poverty hometown OGs that built this town that is no longer. We're allowing everybody to move in, and we're almost going to have to create a refuge for ourselves to move out of what we built. My only lifelong interest was to have a home of my own. The wall with the pencil marks of my son growing up, the tree that we planted when we moved in, the concrete imprints at our steps, the cozy grill area for marshmallows and shared memorable laughs and tears. My son and I have a blessed relationship, and I feel that there is so much we are missing out on because we're trying to struggle to live in this mess. I have called Bethany Ministries. I have called numerous lawyers throughout the years. I have tried to move. I have called the Red Cross. I've called the Morning Call. I've called the news stations. I have called the Conference of Churches. I have the chief city inspector that I speak with. I have the city inspector that's involved. My building owners, I believe, do have a warrant out on them. They were cited in early February. A court date was still not scheduled, but in June, the owner paid the fine and did not fix anything. He was cited again, and I still don't have a court date. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rosenhauer. And of course, our Director of Community and Economic Development, Ms. Collins, is here in the front row. You may be familiar with her already. You have to speak with her at any point. If you want to stay till after the meeting, speak with members of council.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome, of course. Our next speaker is Harry Faber.
Harry Faber. What I wanted to talk about today was on September 6th, a fellow American, Asenir Egi, was assassinated in the West Bank. She was protesting the conquering of settlements of the Palestinians. And she was a member of the International Solidarity Movement, the same organization that on March 16th in 2003, Rachel Corrie, another American who also belonged to the International Solidarity Movement, was also brutally murdered. Asenir was shot in the head by a sniper, an IOF sniper. Rachel Corrie was crushed to death with a bulldozer, all purposeful. In 2022, on May 11th, an American journalist, Abu Akleh, was also assassinated by an Israeli sniper rifle. While she was wearing a blue vest, recording the Jenin camp invasion. And it's been proven time and time again that, you know, the state of Israel, the illegitimate state, doesn't care about American people, about human rights. And I know you guys, I've been coming here and talking about the horrors that are going on in Palestine since October 7th, and for the last like 8 months since I've been coming to city council. But it really just comes down to, there's the BDS movement. I do what I can. I boycott. I am very careful with what I consume. Obviously, you guys don't have the power to sanction. But what we can do as a city is divest. That's the whole middle part. The individual boycotts, local institutions and local government divest, and the federal government is supposed to sanction. But in order to put on pressure, it starts with us. And considering, like, I'm an economist, and in my own opinion, I believe our economy is essentially a giant Ponzi scheme, constantly producing and consuming in this cycle of debt, where we're perpetually using up all of our finite. It really doesn't make any sense. But so the time comes where we have to take action, you know. And I last meeting we were talking about, I believe it was the police department's retirement budget and about their investments, which I recall, was in the stock exchange, and I'm confident and sure that a large majority of those companies, which I'm positive that we are invested in, are also complicit, if not funding, this act of genocide. And I want to know how we can divest from the genocide and what actions are being taken. I don't know who to talk to. I mean, I guess I should have been asking that 6 months ago since I've been coming, but I really want to, I talked about it last meeting. We're the city on the hill. That's what we were made after. We're supposed to be the beacon of hope, you know, and we're better. It's not like we are hell on earth, but again, just because we're not evil doesn't mean we shouldn't strive to be better. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how can we as a city, the city on the hill, the Bethlehem, you know, in which Jesus was born, I believe, I'm not religious, I said that, but that's what we're named after, you know? Like, can we stick to our values, our roots? How do we do that? That's just all I want to do. I can do the research, like, I'm willing to put in the effort and try to figure this out, but it's always like, I come here, I speak, and that's the end of it. I have to come back. I want to help, and I want to do what I can to stop this genocide, and it would be very appreciated if you guys would do what you can do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Faber. Our next speaker this evening, Valerie Nunes.
Hello. Well, as always, I find it difficult to hear about people in rough housing situations who may not have housing or that it's inadequate. I want to kind of, before I go into what I have written down, kind of note that there is a little something called survivorship bias, and I really take umbrage at any kind of commentary implying that people without homes, that it's their fault that they can't get out of that situation. But moving on from that, I am here speaking again about the situation with the encampment under Fahey Bridge. At the last meeting, I kind of took issue with all of this situation being referred to as rumors. Clearly, there was some miscommunication happening, but everyone involved was acting on the best information that was available at the time. And clearly, we were able to clarify some things. I have a few more questions. But hopefully some of this information has been investigated since then. Maybe it can be answered by Chief Gott or by Ms. Collins or someone else in the city staff or on the council at some point. Firstly, I want to clarify if there's been any investigation into what information was actually given by the police to the residents on the encampment by the bridge, if it lines up with what we had learned before or not, what was actually said to them. Were the mounted police accompanied by any other liaison or staff? We learned that they try not to have police visit the encampment without other liaison or staff. I want to know, is that official policy? You know, outside of someone calling the police and there needing to be a response. In other situations, is it policy that police do not approach the encampments without other help? And regardless of that, really, like, what was the specifics of this situation and incident? Then moving on from the actual police response, have we obtained any further information from PPL? And whenever this electrical work is to be done, what is the plan to keep it, to complete it, keeping in mind the needs of the residents? Where can they stay? How quickly can they come back if they are temporarily displaced? What are the plans for properly notifying them? And what amount of timing and leeway, what notice will be given? And, you know, can we guarantee, we heard that PPL reported to the Bethlehem police that they had previously tried to speak directly to residents, and the police didn't know about this until afterward when PPL was talking to them. So from now on, you know, will PPL be going through the city to contact the residents, or are they going to do whatever they want? You know, are they going to approach themselves? And then just like, how are we going to ensure, you know, good behavior on all parties that are, you know, interacting with this vulnerable population going forward? And finally, furthermore, you know, what is Norfolk Southern's knowledge and involvement in all of this? Because they didn't seem to be very involved in any of it from the information we had last time. Yeah, that is essentially what I have to say regarding the homeless population. I'll add a side note. Harry, I'm looking into the divestment issue, and you can always file a right to know request, which I intend to do once I've seen the 2023 audit. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last speaker signed up is Marty Curatola. I will recognize Mr. Callahan as well.
Hi, I'm Marty Curatola, 813 Lawford Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. If you Google Wake Up, Rise Up, Live for Peace, you'll find that international virtual concert, peace concert, that goes throughout the whole world for over 24 hours will be happening this Saturday on the 21st, which is linked with the United Nations International Day of Peace. I'm one of the many hosts on that thing and the performers. It's amazing. I could perform all over other cities, all over the world, but I can't get anything in my city. I can't work in my city because I've been like blacklisted because I was named racist. I was named anti-Semitic. You know, I was, who else I would do? I don't even know. Some of the other intonations that are going on around. But the thing is, it's amazing. My attorney, which is, Dave Schattenstein. Does that sound Italian to you? No, he's Jewish. My other attorney was Jay Sherline. Does that sound Italian? No, he was Jewish. I performed at the Bethlehem Club for his 50th birthday. I went to his funeral. I have a lot of Jewish friends. Jerry Draven, does that sound Italian? No, he was Jewish. That was my partner in Philadelphia. We had a creative sound studio back in the 80s and the 90s. But however, I can't get anywhere in Bethlehem because the first Arts Quest got at me, and then City Council, because I mentioned that Bethlehem was named after the city that Christ was supposed to be born into, and his main teaching was we should be an example. So we caused the little ones not to sin. I was anti-Semitic. And because of some other little things that I said that were factual in history and in the Bible, anti-Semitic. I was going to run for mayor, but no way! I will bet my $45,000 Les Paul 61 guitar. Mayor Reynolds will be the next mayor here. No problem at all. Artie Curatola don't stand a chance in, you know what I'm talking about. I will not get there. I will not be there. And okay, so maybe I don't know that much about running a city, but I could learn. What about Trump? He was elected president of the United States. He didn't know much about it, but now he does. So anyway, if Trump could be president of the United States, why couldn't I be mayor? But anyway, the fact remains, we got too many things going on in the city. We are a safe city, but I don't get no credit for it. But if you look at the records, for over 35 years, I was pushing for surveillance cameras in the city of Bethlehem. In 2017, they came about, we became the top 20 safest cities in the whole United States because of the surveillance cameras and a great police force. Other cities don't have that. Other cities listen to these podcasts. In Philadelphia, you bet they're listening to right now, And if they don't get to the city council meetings, because they're the ones that run the city, the mayor and the city council, you don't get there, if you're listening, your city is going to continue on having crime. I talked to the mayor over there, said, hey, it's no brainer, no hoodies after dark. And then this way you can find out who's committing the crimes. Now, we can't do that. And they told me years ago, when I said about the surveillance cameras, you realize what it'll cost, Mr. Caracola? You know, that's what I get from Philadelphia. And I got that pretty much from Bethlehem, too, for a while. But the thing is, I had ideas, and I still have great ideas, and I'll probably utilize them, even if I don't get elected. I won't get elected anyway. But there's a lot of things we could do for the safety of the homeless people, and do things to help the homeless people here. And we shouldn't be homeless people. With the high rates that most elected officials get of $90,000 or better, you know, just take a little bit less and get rid of the homeless situation. Put them in halfway houses or, you know, different communes or something like we used to have back in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, if this is, and veteran, homeless veteran, that shouldn't even be in a sentence. But the thing is, it happens. But there's a lot of things that could be done. Sure, we're safe. We're a safe city for the people that are not homeless. But we need to be good for the people that are homeless. Google me, Jay Creed, J-C-R-E-E-D, and you will find a lot more about me. But yet, I can't do nothing in my city of Bethlehem, but yet I'm on Google. God bless you all. Keep on rocking.
Thank you, Mr. Caracola. We did have someone sign up for the second public comment, but the topic was parking procedures. Is that something we're voting on this evening? Or you could come up now to make your comments. So it is for something that we're voting on this evening?
It's related.
Understood. I just want to make sure. Thank you. So I'll open it up to the room. I'll start with the left. Yes, ma'am.
I live at 2337 Brown Street, Bethlehem. My husband and I were the first to build on the street 63 years ago. I am 88 years old. A mental health facility was put in directly across the street at 2340 Brown Street. Why weren't all of us neighbors notified? There is a lot of cars, police cars and ambulances coming and going. That is a lot of excitement on for a person my age. I always felt safe in my home and now I feel unsafe. Some nights I can't even sleep because I'm afraid. In the past, the next door neighbor wanted to close in their patio, and two of the neighbors and myself were sent a letter from the city asking if we would give our consent first, and we did. And then they closed it up and there was never a problem. Let's see. What can be done about this situation? Thank you.
Okay, I'm her daughter, Lacey Anderson, to live at the same address. I'm her caregiver. We're just wondering why a commercial business is allowed to operate in a residential area. Like I said, this place is called Beacon Specialized Living. They handle everything from dementia to substance abuse to schizophrenia. And my mother grew up in a time when, you know, people with mental health disabilities were segregated from the public. So this is fearful to her. It's fear of the unknown, and I'm sure all of you at some point in your life have faced fear of the unknown. So she just would like to know why there isn't, you know, why there wasn't an ordinance or some type of variance that's required to put this type of commercial business in a residential area. And we have 13 ranch homes on our street. I don't want our street, because of people with physical disabilities, they kind of target ranch homes. I don't want every ranch home on my house, on my street, to become one of these public facilities, businesses in a commercial, you know, in a residential area. So, thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Again, as I stated before, if you wanted to stay till the end of the meeting, I don't have answers for you right now, okay. But you're more than welcome.
We did contact zoning. Zoning told us to come here.
Understood.
We left a message with the zoning officer. He never got back to us.
Understood. Okay. And again, I invite you to stay after the meeting, okay, if you want to exchange some information, as
sure,
well as our
absolutely
director of community economic development.
Yes,
here.
Absolutely.
Is there anyone else to the left side of the room who wants to make a comment who's not had an opportunity? I turn to the wide center. Is there anyone in the center who wants to make a comment who has not had a chance? Mr. Shire.
Well, sounds like I'm Bill Shire, 1898 Avenue. Sounds like we could use a little more enforcement in the city. Just a word about Gaza. You all know I feel we have to lean more heavily on Israel and should suspend military aid for a while. My beef is not with the people of Israel. It's not with the country of Israel, for that matter. It's just with the present government of Israel. And Mr. Netanyahu is doing what he has to do to keep the support of the extreme right, because otherwise they will leave his government and he will no longer be in power. It's all about staying in power. That's the driving force here. It's not completely unlike Mr. Maduro in Venezuela. You had too many people trying to hang on to power. A couple of remarks about the agenda. I've made this comment maybe 10 years ago. I'll try once again. Approval of the minutes comes before public comment. The public never has a chance to comment on the minutes, which may inadvertently have mischaracterized something they said at the previous meeting. The remedy is simple: put appeal of the minutes after public comment. By the way, the summary of what I said at the last meeting is accurate, as it usually is, but I think the agenda could be fine-tuned here. Under old business, we have old business, tabled items, unfinished business, which is orally characterized as new business. tabled items are old business. So once you've done old business, you've done tabled items, which is why I skipped over. A little cleaner arrangement would be tabled items first, and then other old business. Unfinished business is also old business. So that's kind of redundant. And I approve the idea of replacing it with new business, which in itself is a change of long-standing tradition. And new business used to be at the end of the meeting. Putting it where it is now is an interesting change. And it does help to the public, because they have comments that they have made, and the comments from council can occur sooner than otherwise. There is a downside, though, and that is that the council members are still more energetic since it's earlier in the meeting, and so we have had extended discussions and repetitive discussions recently, because everybody's got so much vim and vigor still. And if it's at the end of the meeting, people are more tired and they're more to the point. But the downside there, of course, is that the members of the public have to wait until then. So it's neither here nor there, I guess. One other thing, I have a minute and a half left. I got a slight education before the meeting about how to find crime data on Facebook. I'm afraid I did not master it, but I'm going to try to get on Facebook, search on City of Bethlehem, and see if I can find the crime data. It shouldn't be so difficult. In fact, when you log on to bethlehem-pa.gov and you get that matrix of little boxes, it's kind of like Hollywood squares, and there should be one there that says crime data. And you click on that and you get the crime data. At the very least, what the city does submit to the state, which then goes to the FBI. 42 seconds left. I got to save that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shai. Was there anyone else in the wide center who has made comment who has not had a chance? Yes, ma'am.
Joyce Zettelmoyer. I live on Brown Street, 2346. I live right next to this mental health facility. I was very disturbed that I didn't get notified that this mental health organization was moving in right next to me. Now, I am the only house on Brown Street that does not have a driveway, so I must park on the street. So it makes parking difficult, and I refuse to walk a block to carry my groceries when winter comes, because it gets even worse when the snow mounts up. People have to slide in wherever they can park, and that's not fair to the residents. As myself, I'm 77, and I have to plow and shovel my snow. I don't want somebody else parking in that because they didn't get to work soon enough to plow their own parking space. So I would like to know what you're going to do with it, how we are going to address this problem. We don't know how many people will be allowed in this facility to live. We don't know what to expect, what else they will require these people to do. Not that we're against handicap. My best friend is handicapped, or the mentally deficient. They have a right to live too, but we have a right to know what's going to transpire with all of us that pay taxes on that narrow street. And it is narrow when we have parking on both sides. Thank you.
And I invite you to stick around. We have a light agenda tonight, so I invite the neighbors to exchange contact information, please, and we'll try to get some information and go from there.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem. Is there anyone else in the Wide Center who wants to make comments who has not had an opportunity to? I turn to the right. Anybody to the right? All right, that concludes our first public comment. Now we're going to continue on to ordinances or resolutions that we're going to vote on this evening. We have two people signed up, starting with Mayor Joe McCool.
Mayor Joe McCool, 449 Grandview Boulevard. After attending the Safety Committee meeting and City Council meetings earlier this month, I am pleased that an ordinance prohibiting illegal dirt bikes and four-wheelers use in the city is finally being addressed. I want to thank Chief Cott and Northampton County District Attorney for collaborating to make this possible. Chief Cott researched ordinances in Reading and another municipality to draft Bethlehem's ordinance. Bethlehem is unique in that it is the only city in the state of Pennsylvania to straddle two counties, Lehigh and Northampton. I wonder, since I live in the portion of Bethlehem in Lehigh County, if the district attorney in Lehigh County was consulted or included in any discussions and infractions, as infractions within Lehigh County would be overseen by his office. I bring this to the attention of this governing body to ensure that all law enforcement agencies are equally informed and as such on the same page. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next speaker, Ms. White.
My name is Sheila White, and I live at 2351 Woodcrest Avenue. I hope to see City Council approve the permit application for the varied community engagement activities presented by Touchstone Theater for their 6th annual Festival Unbound. This would demonstrate an understanding of how arts participation is a vital part of community life and well-being. And a community cannot support the arts without full consideration of public parking. Having worked in South Bethlehem for a while, I'm familiar with the ongoing changes to parking access. That lived experience informs me to look up potential construction zones that could impact both vehicular and pedestrian travel, as well as parking solutions, each time I plan my venture into North and South Bethlehem business districts. I'm a big fan of the New Street Parking Garage. It's a great asset for the citizens like myself who want to participate in a walkable city. It's an ideal solution to be able to leave the car in one safe space and to walk freely from a dining experience to an arts experience without worry of an expired meter. The Polk Street Garage is also a wonderful asset. Street parking, we have some work to do. Last Saturday, when volunteering at Godfrey Daniels, I saw a challenge for about 30% of the people who were there, including the musicians. There was a significant information gap for people who were trying to figure out the new parking rate zones, kiosks, mobile apps, and all other means for which our community can maintain a fair and accessible parking solution without the restrictive or oppressive procedural evil that is the parking authority. And I'm paraphrasing Thomas Paine's common sense there. And this is why I'm making this statement. I have two concerns about these new parking policies, communication and inflexibility. I find the communication from the parking authority lacking. From the parking authority website, the new rapid park zones feature a $2.50 per hour rate with a maximum stay of 2 hours. This higher rate and shorter limit are designed to encourage turnover and ensure that more visitors can access convenient parking spaces. That's fair. The Flex Park Zone, situated slightly further from the downtowns, is a walkable zone that maintains a $1.50 per hour rate with a 3 hour maximum stay. This approach helps reduce congestion in high demand areas and supports a more pedestrian friendly environment. So we do understand pedestrian friendly environments. The sign on the meters state 2 hour max, but does not expand that 2 hour limit is for any spot in that zone. A driver must find a new spot in another zone number, not just the next available spot on that street. The same information, or lack thereof, appears on the mobile app and the kiosks, if you can spot those from your parking spot. I'm not expecting a level of technology similar to knowing about how to order my hoagie while I'm filling up my gas tank at the Wawa. But has there been full consideration of how people are informed of their parking situation before they pull up to an available parking spot and attend a show that lasts longer than 2 hours? Could the parking authority possibly add more details on the app? Could the parking authority work with each business to provide better explanation that can be embedded onto their websites or within appointment confirmations for salon appointments that last more than 2 hours, and don't let me get all Elle Woods on you on that one, and advanced ticket sale emails or text communications so that audiences are better informed? I saw a brochure. It isn't very clear. A brochure produced by the BPA. It tells me that the parking authority does have information available, but not as easily accessible or more proactively shared. Secondly, might there be more flexibility in the established zones for varied business models? Has the parking authority done a detailed survey of the businesses and venues within the rapid park zones that offer services where a customer would need more than 2 hours? Could there be a way to shift the hourly limit in the rapid park zone after 6 p.m. to accommodate a more pedestrian-friendly environment for evening activities? I don't want to speak for all business models, but I will fiercely advocate on behalf of the audiences who venture out of their homes at night to experience something magical. Their drive home ought to be buzzing with elation from their shared experience, not cursing the parking authority for a ticket placed on their windshield. What do you think of the chances of an audience member coming back to South Bethlehem for any other experience after they've earned a parking ticket from inefficient communication? As city council members and administrators, I implore you to consider the full impact on the artists, musicians, and customers these businesses serve. It's not enough to publicize partial information that makes sense to us and stays within certain boundaries of how things are done. We all need to do better to share and to listen to our collective awareness. Thank you.
Thank you. So that exhausts our list for the second public comment period. So again, I'll go around the room. This is related to anything we're voting on this evening. Is there anyone to the left who wants to make comment in regards to any resolution or ordinance? Again, I turn to the wide center. Mr. Shire.
Bill Shire again. Just a comment on, I think it's the last C of A on a new sign for Gowney House. And I noticed in the supporting documents, of which there was one copy available in the hallway. It used to be more, but now lately there's only been one, even when you get here at 6:30. That the new sign will be 3.5 feet by 3.5 feet. And that strikes me, if memory serves, as larger than the old sign. If I had gotten the agenda at home in the mail, I would have known before I came into town, and I could have driven by it to see what the old sign looked like. But since I was coming at the last minute before council meeting, there was not, or I could have gotten in my car and gone back, but then I would have missed the beginning of the council meeting. So that's my concern about that, and also my concern about not getting copies of the agenda in the mail anymore, because they don't have the internet at home. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Was there anyone else in the wide center who would like to make comment on anything we're voting on tonight? Anyone to the right? That concludes our second public comment. We're going to move on through the agenda. Old business. Any old business from members of council? I don't see any. We're going to move on to new business. Any new business from members of council?
I just want, I wanted to, I already spoke to President Colomb, but I'm taking my first trip to Europe, and I'll be gone for a month. So I just want to tell everybody I'll be gone for the next two meetings, and I'll be paying attention if I can online. And if anybody has any questions, you can still text me, but I look forward to this trip and trip a line. Time, first time coming, so thank you very much. And I'm sure all of you will miss it. So very much.
Safe travels, Mr. Callahan. Safe travel. Any other new business from members of council? I'll start with Councilman Miller.
Just a question following up on the residential facility on Brown Street. I think this would be directed to Laura about zoning. So I know that there are many residential facilities for various causes, mental illness, physically disabled people, addicts in recovery throughout the city. And I know some of them are in residential areas, not just this particular chain or business that's operating one. Is that a permitted use in a residential zoning district? Or do those, do, is there some process that they need to go through? Do you know that offhand?
I would be most comfortable like writing up something after the meeting just so I don't misspeak. I don't know this property specifically, so I can't speak to the nature of the services they're providing or the housing that is provided. There are provisions in the zoning ordinance for group homes that's specifically called out. There's a very specific definition of what a group home is. I don't know if this facility has been evaluated under that standard. But what I could do is obviously look into this specific facility and then also just share information about group homes generally.
Yeah, my question was sparked by that facility but was more general. So if a facility would meet the definition in the ordinance of a group home, then there is no additional variance or notification or anything that has to happen?
It really kind of depends. While it might meet the definition of group home, there could be other reasons that a facility might need to go for a zoning variance or something of the sort. But if it's a residential facility generally that meets the definition of a group home and it's in a zoning district that permits group homes, then that would all be, as a general matter.
Right, and that's in all residential areas? There's some provision?
I would have to check.
Okay, all right, yeah, if you could look into those things just so we can give the residents a... If you could look into that so that we can give a clear picture to the people in question, then that would be great. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Collins.
I also have a couple of questions. I think I'm going to start with Chief Cott. I know that we had spoken offline about this, but if you can give some update as to which patrol was actually on the Greenway. And I don't know if this is a question for you or a question for Laura, but is there anything that we could legally require PPNL to go through the police department, or is that something we can actually do?
That I can't answer.
So that's you guys. But if you can give us an update on which officer was down there, or what's the procedure like officer is on the canal?
Absolutely, I can answer Ms. Newman's questions. Community Connection staff did accompany the officers down for the notifications, and that is policy. That unless, like you said, they're called down there for a specific reason, like a medical call or a fight call, Community Connection staff will go down or will accompany street medicine and the Community Connection staff. It was not a mounted officer that spoke to the residents. It was Sergeant Ryman, that is the sergeant in charge of our community services unit. He was on bicycle and he had his bicycle helmet on, so they may have been confused when speaking to Sergeant Ryman. But that's who they spoke to. There is body camera footage of that interaction as well that was reviewed to see how that message was conveyed, to make sure that it was conveyed properly and in a respectful manner. Any updates from PPNL? We are working on it. I'm not thrilled right now with the timeline that we were given, but we are going to work very, very closely with them to try to make it where it's going to be beneficial for them to get this job done, but also it's going to provide the individuals that are being displaced with proper shelter and resources. And the last question was Norfolk Southern. I'm not sure of that, so I can't speak to that.
Thank you, Chief. The other question I had regarding that whole situation was if either for the city's legal or our legal, the city's legal, is there anything that is already in place that requires PPNL to go through the police department? And if not our legal, is there anything that we can do to put something in place that would require PPNL to go through the police or the health department to relay accurate information?
I'm certain PPL has an easement to access their poles on Norfolk Southern land, which is where this is located.
Okay.
So it's between...
It would be,
yeah, if they have any obligation, it would be Norfolk Southern not to notify people trespassing there.
So if that is an easement, that's basically, that is what it is. Got it.
Yeah, like you have in your backyard or somewhere where the cable company can come through, that sort of thing.
Understood. The other questions I have might be for you, Ms. Collins. They're regarding the housing situation again. I know that the city has done kind of like everything that you can do. I'm wondering what the next steps would be. Like, is condemning the next steps? And if the property is condemned, is there anything that protects the resident that's there? Or is there any kind of safety net that would catch somebody from having a property condemned right from underneath them? And my last question is there anything legally barring us from knowing who this person is? I'm not above publishing.
Are you speaking about the Broad Street?
Yes, the woman with her son.
So my understanding, I just tried to double check while we were sitting here, is that we are still waiting on a court date from the magistrate, as was relayed. We had cited them, had gone and gotten a court date. The fine fines have been paid. We've cited them again. So at this point, we are waiting for the court to act. I mean, we could certainly send some inspectors back out there to check the status of the situation. If it were the case that the situation had elevated to a level where it needed to be condemned, I think we had talked about this before, but we certainly try to do our best and work with the Health Bureau and Community Connections and service providers to try and get people at least temporary housing in a situation like that. It's or at least connect people to services. As you know, we don't necessarily provide housing ourselves in those instances, but we do want to try and help people and give them enough notice. So we could certainly have somebody go back out there and meet the resident out there and see what the condition of the property is currently.
And when it comes to ownership of property, especially properties that whether it's people coming to council or people approaching us individually when they see us, if somebody is coming to us about a property over and over and over again, and these properties are owned by the same people over and over and over again, or by the same LLC with no name behind it, is there a way that we can find out who that is, or is...
I might defer to Mr. Spurk. I think we would generally encourage people to submit a right-to-know request and determine at that point, like, what of the information that we have.
Okay, so the legal process would be just submit a right-to-know request in order to understand, like, who owns these properties. Okay. All right. Thank you. I think the only other thing that I had was there was a comment said about increasing communication. Oh, this isn't for you, Dr. Collins, if you want to say, you totally can. I don't want to kick you up there. I did speak with one of our gentlemen that has worked with our unhoused population for decades, Pastor Rapp, and he has been more than willing to meet with members of the community who are taking a recent interest in the unhoused population, how they get their communications, how they survive the summers and the winters. He's more than willing to sit down and speak with you all. So if there is a genuine desire for increased communication and how we can help these people, then we should be connecting with the people who've been doing this work for decades. That's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Leon. Any other new business from members of council? Councilman Krebs.
Just a follow-up regarding the community living arrangement or group home on Brown Street. I was looking up, and on page 175, it addresses it in the zoning ordinance, but I guess the question is that what needs to occur, and it sounds like it doesn't, it can be in a residential area or other areas, but that the provider needs to submit specific information to the zoning officer. So at this point, do we know if that's happened or not? We don't know.
I don't know. About
okay. So yeah, if you can find that, I think that would be the first step so we know where things are at. Thank you.
Any other new business from members of council? Any other new business? Councilman Laird?
Just a question, starting with a kudos. The police, I know, have responded to the request to have like a police blotter published, and it's on social media, and I've heard good feedback, including from some people in this room, about that. But there's been a question of why, or could that be on the website? If you could, it looks like a Google Drive folder, so if that...
Yes, it is. So if you go to the city webpage, go to the police dropdown, and there is a spot to get the UCR data, but there's also the public blotter. So it is available on the city webpage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other new business from members of council? Thank you, everyone. I'll just reiterate to the neighbors that came out because there were some questions about it. Please, after the meeting, if you will share your contact information, and we could communicate whatever Director Collins is able to find about kind of the background related to that property.
Yes.
We're going to move on to communications. Mr. Miller, Communication 6A.
September 11th, 2024, memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk, Jr., with an attached use permit agreement resolution. Permittee is the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce by and through its downtown Bethlehem Association. Sub-permittees are McCarthy's, Irish Pub Incorporated, and Social Still LLC. The event is 2024 Harvest Fest. Event times will be noon to 5 p.m. on October 12th. Duration will be 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. on October 12th. Specified premises is Main Street from Broad Street to the Hotel Bethlehem parking lot entrance.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda this evening. 6B.
September 11th, 2024 memorandum from City Solicitor John S. Burke Jr. with an attached use permit agreement and resolution. Permittee is Touchstone Theater. The event is 2024 Festival Unbound. Event times and durations vary and are specified in the agreement for September 30th through October 6th. The specified premises are Bethlehem Rose Garden, Sand Island, including the boat launch, the Ice House, and the Greenway from New Street to the Bethlehem Skate Park.
And Resolution 10B is on the agenda this evening. Communication 6C.
The September 9th, 2024 memorandum with an attached exhibit listing equipment for sale from Sandra Steidel, Director of Purchasing. Listed items will be offered for sale in an online auction within 60 days in accordance with provisions of Resolution 2009-95.
And if council has no objections to the properties listed, the items may be added to the online auction. If council would like to discuss a specific item, the same shall be removed from the list and then discussed at the next council meeting, which will be October the 1st. Would any member of council like to remove any of the items from the list and discuss it at the next council meeting? I don't see any. So it will be communicated to the purchasing director that city council has no objections to auctioning the listed property. Thank you. Moving on to reports tonight. I don't have anything to report this evening. Mr. Evans?
Thank you, President Colon. The mayor does have one announcement, and as you had mentioned in your opening remarks, he is currently welcoming guests from Batia, our newest sister city, which is in Puerto Rico, and we would like to welcome everyone to the flag raising and ceremony, which is going to be on Friday outside on Pedro Plaza. The ceremony will begin at 1 o'clock and expected to run for about an hour, and all are welcome. That will be Friday.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. For our Finance Committee, Councilwoman Francis Smith.
Thank you. The Finance Committee will meet on Tuesday, October 1st, 2024, 6 p.m. in Town Hall. Several budget adjustments will be on the agenda. Grace Cramsey Smith, Chairwoman of the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Ms. Cramsey Smith. Continuing on to ordinances for final passage, Mr. Miller, please read Bill 29, 2024.
The ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Community Development Block Grant Fund Budget for 2024. Bill number 29, 2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Francis Smith.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passed 7-0. Bill 30, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Community Development Block Grant Fund Budget for 2024. Bill number 30, 2024, sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramson Smith.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramson Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passed 7-0. Bill 31, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh, Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2024 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill number 31, 2024 is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion?
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passed 7-0. Bill 32, 2024.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, establishing Article 525 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, titled All-Terrain Vehicles and Dirt Bikes, and establishing prohibited offenses involving the operation within city limits. Bill number 32, 2024, is sponsored by Ms. Leone and Ms. Francis Smith.
Discussion on the motorbike ordinance.
Chief, you have a minute? So if this passes tonight, what's the plan going for, like, as far as enforcement or
education? So to start off, we would educate the public, the gas station owners, about the new ordinance. There would be a grace period during that education period trying to just let people know about the new ordinance, and then there would be enforcement. And again, that officer still has discretion regarding, you know, what exactly is going to happen with that bike. Any citations, a lot of times, like I mentioned before, there was a case where there was just a gentleman that was unaware that had to register the vehicle and you couldn't operate it on Broad Street. But that's the plan going forward.
How about, is there any thought process or now or in the future as far as like having any like roving patrols like in 3rd Street, 4th Street, like the central business districts were the most affected by?
We've done directed patrols before.
Main Street.
Not only for the vehicles, but also for the loud vehicles that have the aftermarket exhaust on them. So we have done that before, yes, and that's something we plan on doing again in the future.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Councilwoman Laird.
I just wanted to note that the amendments that we discussed last time are in fact reflected in here so that everyone's aware. So it does now define highway and has added snow.
Thank you. Any other discussion, members of council? Chief Codd, just two quick questions following up on something that was brought up during new business. And if this was discussed at the Public Safety Committee, forgive me for missing it. Was Lehigh County District Attorney, David Hollihan, consulted, or do you, and even if not, do you foresee any issues with enforcement in West Bethlehem versus Northampton County?
None. The ordinance would apply to the city as a whole. And speaking to the district attorney's office over in Lehigh County, they were very, very aggressively going after this problem because of how pervasive it is in the Lehigh Valley. So it should not be a problem.
Understood. Thank you, Chief. Anything else before we call the roll? Mr. Miller?
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Francie Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. We don't have any new ordinances this evening. Moving on to resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce by and through its Downtown Bethlehem Association for the 2024 Harvest Fest. Resolution sponsored by Ms. Laird and Ms. Leung.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Thank you. Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Touchstone Theater for the 2024 Festival Unbound. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Laird and Ms. Leung.
Any discussion on the use permit agreement? Councilwoman?
Yes, President Flynn, because of my ongoing consultancy work with Touchstone, I'll be recusing myself from this vote.
Understood. Thank you. Ms. Laird?
This is a question actually for our liaison, Ms. Wilhelm. We had someone speak about parking and, so parking, I think I can say that word. So we had someone speak about parking and issues surrounding like when there is an event that would take longer than the designated period in the rapid exchange areas. I'm wondering if you could just confirm that you would discuss that with the parking authority folks. And I'm just remembering when I way back worked at the Boyd Theater, and the owner there would get so frustrated because it was 1 hour parking in front of a movie theater. And we could put the tokens in the meters for people and stuff. So I'm hearing the same types of things and thinking of theater and concerts, and wondering if there's any temporary permits that might be dreamt up to give people who are attending a specific concert or something like that. I don't know.
Yes, I appreciate your inquiry. Obviously, I'm not going to answer on behalf of BPA, but I do have a note to myself to reach out, and I will report back.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Recuse.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Resolution passes 6-0 with one council member recusing themselves. I will accept a motion in a second to consider the resolutions 10C through 10G, the certificates of appropriateness as a group.
So moved. Oh, second.
I'm going to say motion by Mr. Callahan and second by Councilman Wilhelm. Any discussion on the motion to consider them as a group? Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Now they're grouped together. Mr. Miller, please read the COAs.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem resolutions are hereby granted for 3032 West Market Street to replace a total of 36 windows, including 32 double hung units, one picture unit, and three casement windows with Marvin Elvet windows. The applicant also proposes to remove, restore, and repaint the existing shutters, repaint the wood sills and lintels for the windows being replaced, and install new 6-inch half-round gutters for 227 East Church Street, to install a Bosch Climate 5000 ductless mini split heat pump with which will replace the current oil heat and window wall air conditioners for 238 East Wall Street to replace existing shingled roof with GAF slate line architectural shingles in the antique slate color. Install new EPDM membrane in the box gutters on the front porch. Replace existing downspouts related to the repaired box gutters on the front porch. Reside the walls of the existing roof dormers and replace the rubber roof system on the rear dormer. For 127 East Wall Street, to replace the weakened slate line shingle roof with GAF slate line architectural shingles. The chimney flashing is beyond repair. Fabricated in-kind aluminum step and counter flashing will replace the damaged flashing. The applicant also proposes to repair and replace the roof bead and rake trim board, which will be painted to match the existing. And for 501 Main Street, to replace the sign of Thuny House in the same style with Thuny House Welcome Center. The overall size of the sign will be 42 inches by 42 inches by 2 inches. The lettering graphics will be hand-painted on premium vinyl graphics. Resolutions are sponsored by Ms. Laird and Ms. Leone.
Any discussion on the group? We'll call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Laird.
Aye.
Ms. Leone.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. COAs passed 7-0. That concludes tonight's agenda. Everyone stay tuned. Wow. I'm going to grab the contact.